Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. Fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, what's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'll tell you, with all the crap going on in China and all the stuff going on in Japan, I had to get my man back on, the expert, the man who owns shortjapandebt.com, my friend Trey Canepa. What's up, Trey?
Todd, great to be back with you. How about a little market volatility this morning, huh? Well, even on the Friday before Labor Day.
That's true. We're getting a little bit of volatility and a little bit of action. And, of course, China will be back open again Tuesday. And what is it you're thinking? What have you seen? There's been a lot of moves that you were on top of months ago on this whole story. So what are you seeing now and what are you thinking now?
First of all, the yuan is not done devaluing versus the dollar. The Chinese, they know that they have one avenue, and they will continue to devalue the yuan. What, you think they're going to try to appreciate it? Do they want to try to squelch exports? Of course not. Now, what are the natural policy responses? Todd, we're in a currency war. I got to give a hat tip to my friend Jim Rickards here, but this is absolutely the world we live in now. What do you think that the Japanese think about the Chinese devaluing the yuan? Japan is China's largest trading partner. So naturally, we have to look for a policy response from them now trying to devalue the yen. But I've got some positions that I like a lot that I think the yuan will devalue again, and I want to be positioned as such, and I also want to continue to add to shorts in the yen. So right now, this is what a currency war looks like. Also, I want to make a comment about some of the things that the IMF said. Notice the tone of what the IMF said yesterday. Number one, we don't want governments to be too aggressive about cutting spending. Okay, well, there you go. There's the Keynesian model right there. Oh, the governments have to increase spending, you know, in order to grow an economy, which is nonsense. It doesn't appear to be working. It's not working in Japan by any stretch of the imagination, and all they've done is increase government spending. But along the same lines, they're also warning central banks, you know, gosh, don't stop too soon. You know, boy, we don't want to be too aggressive about trying to raise rates. Listen, interest rates are staying at zero, and that's not going to change. I mean, is our economy that weak and that pitiful that the Fed can't even, boy, are we going to raise 25 basis points? Oh, my goodness. Oh, can you imagine the hand-wringing and the teeth gnashing? Is that what Janet Yellen thinks about our economy? Is that we have to sit here for 8 years at rates this low? I mean, this is just mind-boggling to me.
Well, Trey, first of all, I am on record, so I will say it with you because I'm sure you'll love to comment on this. I have said on record that, first of all, the currency wars, the leader, the first one to start the currency wars was actually Ben Bernanke in this latest process. Okay, and he didn't have the guts to stand up and raise rates back in 2013 when he had the chance. The new gutless head of the Federal Reserve, which is Janet Yellen, she don't have the courage to do anything, because right now, when you try to work an economy or a business, which the United States is a business, you can look at it any way you want, it is a business. When you try to run that on theory from a book, you and I both know from being on the floor for all those years that there is no theory. You can't teach somebody what's going to happen next, because nobody knows what's going to happen next. So the Fed has no balls. They're not going to raise rates, and I would not be surprised to see another easing program down the road. What say you?
What do you mean not surprised? That is an absolute fact. QE is coming back. That's the only thing she has. Now, let's also not ignore something here. Do you know how you increase GDP? There's only two ways. One, increase productivity. Number two, increase population. That's it. So increasing the money supply, and QE does which one of those? Does it increase productivity? No. Does it increase population? No. The Bank of Japan does not need to be printing yen. The Bank of Japan needs to be printing babies. They need Japanese babies. Or they need to open up their borders, and they need to have some population coming in. this is a big part of the disagreement I have with a lot of our immigration policy in the United States. If there's somebody out there willing to do more work for less money, we need to send them a bus ticket. Competition is a good thing, not a bad thing, as long as it's done correctly, right? You're absolutely right. QE is coming back. It's just a matter of when. Now, I want to throw a little curveball at you here, Todd. Shouldn't we consider that the Fed and the Bank of Japan and the ECB, we are being presented this notion that quantitative easing is an offensive move? That, we want to do this because we think that will create improvement. Absolutely incorrect. The quantitative easing happening in China, happening in Japan, happening in the ECB, it is a defensive move. They know that government spending increases government debt, and they can't have those politicians want to continue to increase spending. Why? Because it gets them reelected. So if all they're going to do is increase spending and increase debt, the only saving grace, why aren't bond markets just throwing up and saying, no, if I'm going to lend you money, you're going to have to pay me a higher yield, and bond prices are too high. So don't you naturally think that the ECB, when they're sitting there and they're buying up bonds, it's so that bond markets don't spit out the Spanish bonds, the Portuguese bonds, the French debt? So if they start spitting that up, then suddenly those governments, that is the only thing that is going to make governments realize that you can't spend and borrow forever, is when the market goes, I'm not lending you any more money. However, as long as you've got the ECB and other central banks out there, they're doing it because they have to, Todd. There's no backdrop at all for what we're doing on monetary policy around the world right now. Show me in history where that's been successful. Show me this economic model. It isn't true. All this is an avenue for politicians to keep spending, and central banks have their back.
Well, of course, and that begets another problem, because I believe that the central banks are nothing but a shell or a shill for the banks, and they're basically just a cartel that focuses not on what they're supposed to focus on, not what was meant when they originally began, but in just helping the banks get richer.
Partially, I think they're a defensive mechanism. But you got to remember, is that wasn't the Federal Reserve created by the bank owners? I mean, so your point is certainly valid from that standpoint. But yes, isn't it funny that the stock market has a pullback? And then immediately we look over and say, I wonder if Janet Yellen's going to change policy. Do you know what the largest hedge fund in the world right now is? The Bank of Japan. The Bank of Japan is printing yen, and they're buying equities with those dollars. In what alternate universe did we ever think that was a good idea, that central banks need to increase money supply in order to support financial markets? I mean, talk about the bizarro universe, but no. That's the wealth effect. The wealth effect. Remember how much criticism that Reaganomics got, because that was the trickle down. Remember trickle down economics, where if the rich got richer, then suddenly that would trickle down in the entire. And liberals have just bashed that policy. Right. Oh my goodness, that's so horrible.
Trey,
this, that, and the other.
I want to come back and talk about trickle down, because of course Joe the plumber, who was Obama's main guy, was going to unplug the drain, but he forgot. So all that money that the bank stole never got back down to the little guys, and the middle class still remains in the recession. But we're going to step out here for a break. We are with my man, the expert, especially on the Far East, because he's been on top of this. Go back and check the archives. My boy called this 6 months or 9 months ago, exactly what was going to happen. And boy, is it happening in a hurry. But this is Trey Canepa from shortjapandebt.com. This is Todd Horowitz, the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back right after the break, because Trey is going to get rolling now. We'll be right back. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend, one of the smartest guys I know, and even smarter when he moved from Illinois to Texas to save those taxes. But short Japan debt.com's Trey Canepa. So Trey, trickle me down. Tell me how I was supposed to get all my money back.
Isn't it ironic that liberals have bashed Reaganomics and trickle-down economics? Can you please explain the difference between trickle-down economics and the wealth effect? The Fed is out there inflating asset prices in both real estate and equity prices, and bond prices for that matter. And, oh, but the wealth effect, you know, that's going to actually help an economy turn around. What's the difference between that and trickle-down economics? They're exactly the same. So why isn't the president and other liberals, why are they not bashing the Fed? Oh, how about Charles Schumer from New York? He comes out, and boy, we really need to be careful. How about Larry Summers? Larry Summers over at Harvard, he comes out and he says, hey, the Fed really needs to be careful here. You know, they don't want to raise rates too much too fast. Well, guess what, Larry Summers? How about all the savers that are out there? How about my parents that are in their 70s that earn zero on their savings? What the market is trying to tell them is that they're forcing them in to try to chase the equity market, maybe real estate, which isn't quite as liquid as somebody might want. So I find this ironic that here they're sitting here saying, oh my goodness, we don't want to raise rates too fast. Why is it that when, now Janet Yellen does look like a sweet little grandmother that makes great chocolate chip cookies, however, why aren't the other grandmothers and grandfathers of the world, most notably my parents, why don't they, every time Janet Yellen's on TV, they should throw the TV off the balcony? Because it is the actions of the Fed, it is the policy that we have now that is making savers gasp for air and look anywhere they can for yield.
Well, and that is, of course, I remember telling Betty Lou this a while ago, and you and I used to both do her show, and it was, they're forcing everybody out there to go into the equity market. And you and I both know, and again, this is not whether or not we're bearish or bullish the market, because we both know that stocks themselves over time go up. But right now they have reached a limit, and unfortunately the rise has all been done with smoke and mirrors. It has not been done by any actual growth. So when we get all these great economic numbers and every blathering idiot on TV tells you how good the economy is, what do you say?
Well, it's hard. Isn't it funny that I bash China all the time because there's not a simple piece of data that comes out of there that I can believe? Well, why can't we kind of look around? If I hear one more victory lap for President Obama because unemployment numbers are low, what did Donald Trump say the other day? That 93 million people in the United States are unemployed, roughly one-third of the population, a little bit less than that. But so when somebody stops looking for a job, we pull them off those unemployment numbers. Man, something is wrong. You are not getting the growth that we should. We could absolutely be doing a lot better. So I shake my head when I hear these victory laps of, oh, you know, look at how much better the economy is now than when the president took office. And I'm not bashing the president per se. I mean, a lot of the Republicans are certainly no better. It's not like I can point to any of their policies and say, oh, well, you know, that was successful. But what I can tell you is this, is that, yes, our economy started improving in 2010. Why? It started improving in 2010 because that's when the Republicans took over Congress and all that hope and change nonsense stopped. I'm telling you something right now, Todd. The American job-creating machine and the American entrepreneurial spirit is like nothing that has existed anywhere in history. And I do, in fact, believe in that. However, if you sit there and continue to change policy on them, continue to throw new laws, new regulations, What would be a lot better is if everything in Washington just stopped. Well, guess what? That's exactly what happened in 2010. We stopped all this change. Everything froze. If you give the American business the playing field, tell him what the rules are, and leave him alone, then great things can happen. But that's not what's happening right now. I wish somebody would run on the policy. I wish a politician would step up and run on the platform of none of your business. Let's let the free market decide a lot of stuff. Let's decrease regulation, not increase it. Let's let businesses go out and compete and create jobs. If we would do that, America would be a lot better off.
Well, I'm going to talk about that for a minute, Trey. I mean, I've been on this bandwagon. Again, we think alike, even though you're smarter than I am, but we think alike. Why can't anybody see that free market and capitalism are the way that any true market should operate? And a market is self-correcting and self fixing itself. It doesn't need the help of regulation or anything. I mean, they're killing the small guy. They're killing the farmers with all these banking laws. Tell us why it's so important to have free market.
Well, isn't it amazing that as you make those comments about free markets, granted, free markets will have some volatility. You will get, let's say in Dallas, Texas, let's say there is demand for dry cleaners because dry cleaning, the dry cleaning business got hurt some way. So a bunch of dry cleaners closed. Suddenly the supply of dry cleaners goes down and the price goes up. So the people who are in the dry cleaning business, they start making more money. So then when they make more money, then they try to expand their businesses. Other people get back in. And then suddenly too many people get into it and it busts again. The Federal Reserve and policymakers want to try to smooth that out. They want to try to turn those knobs and say, oh, you know, we can't have those up and downs. We can't have that volatility. Granted, volatility is good sometimes. It creates opportunity. It creates, if something gets overpriced and it falls back down, those things are normal. That's what should happen. And guess what? Bankruptcies are okay. Bankruptcies in the banking sector are okay too. You know, if you don't have, you cannot have capitalism without bankruptcy. That's like having Christianity without hell. It just doesn't work. It's okay to let things go through cycles. It's also okay to let consumers be the ones where it's consumer beware. The banking industry is a perfect example. Why, if I go and I sit there and put my money in a bank, the bank has got insurance, FDIC insurance, et cetera, et cetera. They go out, they take a whole bunch of risky bets, and if they blow up because of bad management and making bad loans and things like that, well, guess what? The government's there to bail them out, right? Nobody bailed out some investors that were invested at Lehman Brothers and places like that. They only went in and they bailed out the banks themselves, not the customers. And that, to me, I do not like that whatsoever. Let them go under. Let them suffer under bad management, because what will happen is that consumers will say, hey, I need to be more careful where I stick my money. I need to do my homework. Inherently, I like that. I like this idea that a consumer needs to do his homework. Heck, you do more homework on where you want to go have sushi than you do on what bank you're going to put your money in. And that's where we got things all wrong. Too much trust in government.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's too much trust, but I will tell you this. It's too much government involvement. There's too many things that the government does that affects the average guy. But the problem is, Trey, is the guy who gets screwed is your parents, my parents, you and me. The middle class guys always get screwed by these deals because they don't benefit us. They let these banks take all this money. Now, again, banks could be doing a lot better because if they're actually lending, they'd be making more than they're just taking away for free from the government. But at the end of the day, the whole system, the whole government system is become so big and so out of whack that it does not allow the average guy to get involved, to build a business, to do what he needs to do, because he can't borrow any money. There's no liquidity for the average guy in the street. So the rich get richer, the entitled, they get their freebies. And of course, we've got 48% of Americans on some sort of company payroll that obviously some are on there because they don't care and they want to be on there, but others are on there because they have no other choice. That is where we have to step up and where the government has to say, you know what, we are too damn big. Of course, they never do that. They love that money. But there, it has to be done, because the way that things are right now, we are going to turn into, and don't kid yourself if you don't think this can happen, people. We are doing the same thing that Greece did. We're just a lot bigger right now because we are spending more than we're taking in. And that was the problem with Greece. I'm with Trey Canepa. We're going to come back right after the break, and I got more from Mr. Canepa when we come. We will be back with our buddy Trey Canepa, but as I want to remind everybody, that myself, the Badger, we are putting together a hedging webinar to help you better manage your portfolio so that you don't have to worry about when is the right time to sell, when is the right time to buy, because you can buy or sell anytime. That way, you are going to be totally hedged and ready for action at all times. So make sure you email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and say, help me hedge my portfolio, and I'll get back to you and tell you what it's going to be. This is The Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz. We are with Trey Canepa. from shortjapandebt.com, and also coming out with a new product that he just got approved. So we're going to step out here for a break. We'll be back after the break with Trey Canepa. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. We'll be right back. The Bubba Show.
He's so delicious.
Hey, y'all. Scott here. So you made a little bit of money in this horrid economy, only to find that the Fed has more or less outlawed saving. So into the treacherous waters of the stock market bubble you go. But how to make a little money without too much risk of losing it all? Check out WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson is a successful former hedge fund manager who opens a very real window into his main account, updating his subscribers on the facts of and the reasoning behind all his market moves. Follow along on paper or with real money and see what happens at WallStreetWindow.com.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend and bright guy, ex-trader, but now the leader of shortjapandebt.com, Trey Canepa. So, Trey, you know, I know over the years you have built a number of great income products for people. You've done some really phenomenal stuff, but I know you got something that's really exciting today to talk about and how to create and build a product. So do me a favor, take us through what you're working on.
You betcha, Todd. This is an exciting week for me. On the 1st of September, I was approved and got a new product launch. And this product was created out of an opportunity. And it was also created because I saw something. Listen, I do find it ironic that on one CTA that I manage, I'm shorting Japanese government debt and the yen. However, in another product, I'm actually issuing notes and issuing bonds. However, I found an opportunity and decided to seize on that opportunity. And you know who I had in the back of my head when I did it? My parents. My parents are sitting on cash. I'm telling you right now, Todd, there are countless dollars sitting on the sideline, not wanting to chase the stock market, not wanting to put money in real estate because they view that as a little bit illiquid, maybe hard to manage, whatever. And these dollars are looking for yield. Take a look at the yield landscape out there. How about a Japanese government bond that yields 0.4%? Notice the decimal place, 0.4. You want to buy some of those? No thanks. A 10-year bond, 0.4. You've got U.S. 10-year treasuries around 2%. I'm going to lend the government money for 10 years, and I'm going to make 2% on my money. Boy, that sounds great. How about a high-yield junk bond market? High-yield junk bond fund yielding 6.5%. Wow. Boy, that really sounds like something. So you're sitting, how about CDs? Do CDs pay anything? Bank balances, money markets, we can go on and on and on. The world is starving for yield. An opportunity fell into my lap, and I decided to pounce on it. In the state of Texas, I'm actually generating yields from buying discounted cash flows from utility companies. What kind of utility companies? Electric companies. Really? From utilities, electric companies, you're able to derive some yield from them? Yes, and here's how. We have deregulated electricity in the state of Texas. There's 16 states, actually, that have deregulated electricity, right? Now, in the deregulated market, you've got three market segments. You've got industrial, you've got residential, and you've got small commercial. Small businesses, that's what the small commercial space is. In the small commercial space, those companies will buy electricity on a contract, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever. Guess what? There is a 90% chance that that small business signed that electric contract from a third-party broker that sold it to them. You've got brokerage firms out there selling electric contracts with the larger electric utility to these individual clients, right? So here's where the opportunity lies. I had the CEO of a large electric company in my conference room with one of these brokerage firms that is out selling these contracts. And here's what happened. They said, listen, Trey, the way the commissions are paid to these brokers is they sign a contract and they get a monthly payout of the commission every single month. Let's say it's Frank's Dry Cleaner over here by me. Frank's Dry Cleaner buys electricity for 3 years, and for the entire 3 years, every time Frank pays his bill, they slice off some commission and they send it to the broker. And that's how he gets his commission. So then I step in, and they tell me that the broker would like to get paid up front. He would like to get his commission when he signs the deal at the beginning. And so the broker said, I want to get paid up front. The electric company says, listen, I can't pay you up front. I don't have an unlimited amount of cash. I don't have an unlimited amount of credit. I can't do that. Light bulb goes off. Bingo. I said, Mr. Broker, if you will discount that cash flow enough, I'll buy it from you. So I go in and I negotiate a base discount of 21% per year that they're willing to discount that commission stream. And then I say, because these are not big deals, the average size is about $6,000. These are not big streams of income. However, the more of them I can buy, the lower my portfolio risk goes. Because now I'm spreading out among a whole variety of businesses, and that's where I decided to create a company called Bandon River Capital. Not Brandon with an R, Bandon, like the river in Ireland. Bandon, B-A-N-D-O-N, rivercapital.com is the website. But you've said time and again, Short Japan Debt. If somebody wants to email me there at Short Japan Debt, they can. So I said, why wouldn't I buy as many of these cash flows as I possibly could and then turn around and sell structured notes to my investors seeking higher yields? So is something like, it is a, I mean, we're talking about a private placement here. It has its own unique risks. Anybody who's interested in this, I'll send you the private placement so you can review over the risks and all the risk disclosures. It's for accredited investors only. You absolutely need to do your homework. I can explain, you know, how we've written this up. But at the end of the day, if I'm aggregating this portfolio of cash flows, and then I'm going to sell a structured note to my investors at these terms, 10% per year, and starting, this is a four-year term, by the way, four-year term, and starting on the beginning of the second year, I'm going to pay monthly income and monthly return of principal. What's the best way to reduce your investors' risk? Give them their money back. That seems to reduce risk. So as I'm collecting a cash flow from Frank's Dry Cleaner, I'm getting that monthly. So why not turn and give that to your investors monthly? Give them monthly income. Give them a monthly return of their principal. That's where the opportunity lies. So now I've created the structured note. I've got it all registered. I've got all the PPMs in place. And I launched this on Tuesday of this week. There is a limited supply every month that I can manage to deploy this capital. But for me, this just made sense. You've got people looking for yields, and clearly they have to be aware of the special risks. And like I said, it's all in the PPM for you to read. But I think that people are looking outside the normal realms of bond markets, places like that, to try to find some yield. And that's why I created this. So in an environment that we're in, I think that there's capital out there looking for things like this. And guess what? Yield is out there, but you've got to be creative. You've got to work hard at it. And I have worked for the last 6 months doing everything I can to mitigate as many risks as I possibly can regarding these cash flows. And one of those risk mitigation parts that's right in the business plan is that when I buy these streams of cash flows from the broker, I'm actually holding 15% of his money in cash as security that he can't get until the end. So my investors, if they come in and they buy a structured note, literally 15% of their money is sitting in cash from day one. Well, that's a risk mitigation strategy, I would say. So people can contact me through the Short Japan Debt website. There's obviously a lot of questions that I can elaborate on, but starting it with a 10% monthly income, boy, that's an awful good place to start the conversation.
Absolutely, and I think that it's exciting. So does that mean that you're now turning in the financial trading products that you learned as a trader, and you're turning them into now other products outside the trading world?
Always looking for opportunity, Todd. That's in my nature. always looking for opportunity. Believe it or not, this whole thing came about because I wanted to buy these cash flows myself. But I can't buy $1.2 million worth of cash flows. By the way, I will not apologize for this idea being disruptive. This idea is disruptive to the electricity market. Now, I've got other brokers out there saying, hey, I want to get paid some of this upfront money on my commission. Do I think that this will evolve into other opportunities of commission-based businesses willing to discount streams of cash flows and streams of commissions? Well, the obvious place to look is in some of the other utilities. There are salesmen out there selling contracts for natural gas. If they've got a trailing commission, well, maybe I can go in and create a business around them discounting that commission and buying that, packaging it together, and selling it as a structured note to my investors. There's opportunities, Todd, but you've got to work hard. You've got to be smart. I've been modeling this out and trying to patch the holes and where I viewed the obvious places were for 6 months straight, spending dollars with attorneys, meeting after meeting. But I think I've got something here, and I think that the market is looking for something like this. The market wants some yield, and I think the market is willing to look outside the normal avenues in order to get it.
Well, I agree with that, and of course we know there's a thirst for yield because of course you mentioned your parents and people like that. Those are the people that are going to be punished the most by the markets that we have here. So how do we get a hold of you? Besides, is there another website besides your JapanDebt.com?
Well, there's Bandon River Capital, Bandon Capital.com. You can look there. But go to Short Japan Debt. Say, hey, I saw you. My email address at Short Japan Debt is Trey, T-R-E-S, at Short Japan Debt. That's the same email address my mom has. So I will answer it myself. It comes right to my phone. Email me at Trey at shortjapandebt.com. Say, Trey, I heard you on Todd's show. I want to learn more. I want to learn what you're doing. I've got some specific questions, and I'm happy to set up a call. I can elaborate. I can send you all the risk disclosures, and we can talk about it. You've got some learning to do, but I'm happy to walk through the entire business plan.
And that's my man, Trey. Always bringing good stuff. What was it, GE? We bring good things to light. Trey Canepa, you bring good things to light, and I know you're always working, and you've been on top of the entire situation, and always a pleasure to have you on the air, man.
Thanks, Todd. See you soon.
Thanks, Trey. Appreciate it. That was our friend, Trey Canepa, who has been on top of this China and Japan story from the beginning. Go back and listen to the old shows, and you'll see that he basically laid out what was going to happen. And to prevent you from knowing what's going to happen in the stock market, me and the Badger have put together a five-part series on how to teach you how to hedge. And I'm telling you now that if you're not doing it, you're making a mistake. The small investment in yourself and your portfolio is well worth it. Email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to make sure that you can take part and take care of your portfolio. This is The Bubba Show. We have been with Trey Canepa. We'll be back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you right back here at the break. The Bubba Show.
After 10,000 beers and 20.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you here right after the Labor Day holiday. And, you know, did you happen to think about those jobs numbers? Pretty pathetic when you think about it. You know, it's an amazing thing when we can continue to ignore, to kick the can down the road, to have imbeciles running, or is it the inmates are running the asylum? Okay, isn't it about time that we saw a change? I think it's time. I think it's time to, you know, rework everything so that we no longer strictly just take care of the wealthy. And of course my problem is that why do we have to bail out the people that caused the problem? I mean, it would be like, you know, giving an armed robber a gun. Okay, where was it written that we can allow big money to create havoc, to tear down the economy all because of their greed. But yet, we can't seem to take care of everybody else. To me, it doesn't. That's not a logical story when I look at it. I do not see the logic behind bailing out somebody who caused the problem. I do not see the logic of holding interest rates at zero because we're worried that the stock market might fall. I don't understand where the Fed is at in their mind. I have no idea what they're possibly looking at. If you don't think the economy doesn't suck, okay, if you don't think there hasn't been improvement, or if you think there has been improvement, I would love to know what you're looking at, because from my perspective, I don't see it. From my perspective, I see a group that continues to get taken care of in the face of adversity, in the face of crumbling small business, in the face of gigantic debt being created. I mean, did we forget that the debt we created now is bigger than the housing bubble? So the things that irritate and bother me, I think, are a pretty simple fix. And my issue and problem is why can't the people that are in charge of fixing it see it? Why can't the leaders of this great nation sit back and say, you know what? We can fix this. Instead, why don't we continue to kick the can down the road? Why don't we continue to destroy our middle class, our elderly, and have them foot the bill so that the guys from Goldman and JP can continue their vacation at the Hamptons at our expense? Now, I know that Paulson, the one from Goldman Sachs, Hank, was asked a while back about the disparity in money and wages between the rich and the poor. And he laughed. He was like chortling, like it was a big joke. And he goes, we're going to make it wider. Now, what does that say to you as a business person, as an employee, as an owner, or just as an American, when the people that are screwing us are laughing while they're screwing us? I mean, I don't know about you, but I find that to be a tad bit disturbing when I'm paying and footing the bill along with everybody else. The bailout programs that took these jackasses out of debt and kept them in business. Now, again, had I seen the end result of this, I was always on the fence, but I did not really like the bailout to begin with. And the more I see it, the more I wish they would have let the weak banks just go out of business. I don't know what kind of financial calamity it would have caused, but I can tell you one thing. Jobs could not be any worse than they are right now. In my opinion, the economy could not be any worse than it is right now. But yet, we continue to avoid and looking at the big picture. Will we allow the powers that be to continue to reach into our pockets, take our money, and then want to tax us more? And now, of course, as predicted here at the Bubba Show, margin debt is high, but now brokerage houses are now tightening up their margin restrictions. Once again, sticking it to the people who need that leverage to be able to trade their account, to be able to be real traders. And why? Because they're afraid. Because they're afraid they might be actually at risk for something. It's a wonderful business that they have, that they hold all the control, and they can manipulate the rules to only benefit them and not give the average guy a shot. So as they continue to take away every opportunity and turn us into the robots they want us to be and not worried about the rest of the world, okay, because the rest of the world is in a fine mess as well, if you haven't noticed, okay? I mean, who's going to come to the aid of everybody else? You know, you've got China crumbling and scrambling, and their guy finally admitted, he says, we're coming out of the bubble. But wait, nobody said there was a bubble to begin with, which is another problem that I see, is why can't we admit that we're just in a bubble? Do we actually think that this will carry on forever? Do we actually think that this bubble is not going to burst? Can we figure out that the path that we are down ends in destruction? Now, again, I'm not telling you it's going to end today, and I'm not telling you it's going to end tomorrow. I don't know when it's going to end, but I can guarantee it ends. And to me, that becomes the bigger problem, because the longer you put it off, the more devastation you create for the people that are going through it now. And then you create devastation for new people. Instead of taking care of the problem and solving the problem, we ignore it, hoping that it goes away. But how many problems that you know that you've had have ever just gone away without fixing them? So if you think that this problem is going to go away, it would be time for you to think again, because it ain't going away. It's going to get worse. There's going to be a meltdown. The only question is when. I would think it might be sooner than later, but at the end of the day, it is coming. And what's also coming is the end of today's show. I'm so happy that you were able to spend time with me and Trey and really hear it from somebody else who gets it. And not because we agree, but because he gets it and he studied it. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. And make sure you come back tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. The Bubba Show.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.